today. Shailene and I and Isaiah were in Kansas City. We had the real blessing of participating in a wedding of some dear friends of ours. And I was able to preside at the service, and Shailene played the piano. No, she did. Yes, she did. She put the piano. I get guitar and piano mixed up what she's doing. And it was really a very special occasion, and it's great to be back with you today. Matthew, what's your name? Matt. Matt filled in the pulpit last week, and he preached on the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And that happened on a Sunday. It was the beginning of Holy Week. And during the course of that week, which brings us to the text for this morning, we know that on Monday, Jesus went into the temple, and he cleared the temple. On Tuesday, he taught in parables, and he handled various trap questions that came to him from religious leaders. Wednesday was a day of rest. The Lord took a Sabbath in the middle of the week. On Thursday was the Passover, the beginning of the Passover Thursday evening. And that brings us to our text for this morning. For faithful practicing Jewish people, perhaps you have some friends who are practicing Jews, the Passover is the single most sacred, important event in the year. It is rooted in the story of Exodus, where more than 1,000 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Hebrew people, the people of Israel, who would become the Jewish people, were enslaved by Pharaoh, the emperor of Egypt, and they lived in utterly horrible existence. After 430 years in slavery, God sent Moses to free his covenant people, the people who he had bound himself to through the covenant of blood which he made with Abraham, and then later reiterated through Isaac and Jacob. Through Moses, God inflicted 9 different plagues upon the Egyptian people. They were devastating, each one more progressive in nature, each one attacking a particular religious understanding of the Egyptian people. But finally, there was time for the 10th plague to happen. And this plague would be different. It was not a plague that would only be inflicted upon the Egyptian people. It was a plague that would rest upon all of the people. It was the plague of God's righteous judgment upon the people of Egypt. When this plague struck, every single home in Egypt, Jewish or Egyptian, would experience death under God's wrath and God's justice. The only way for a family to escape the judgment that was coming was to put their trust implicitly upon God's provision of a sacrificial substitute. They were to slay a lamb, place its blood on their doorpost, and they were to eat the lamb. And when the angel of death came in God's righteous wrath, seeing the blood on the doorpost, it would pass over those homes and only inflict those upon the Egyptian community. When the angel of death came that night, it fell on your family, or you took shelter under a substitute, under the blood of a lamb. If you accepted this substitutionary shelter provided by God, that is, if you put your trust in God's provision, your family would be saved. This was to be a lasting ordinance for the people of Israel. They were to remember the Passover, celebrated every single year. There would be very particular aspects of the Passover meal, what you were to eat, how you were to eat it, what you were to say during the meal. And that brings us to the reading for this morning. And we'll start at chapter 14 and read verses 12 through 21. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So Jesus sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' Well, the disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12, and while they were reclining at the table eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, 'Surely you don't mean me.' 'It is one of the 12,' he replied, 'one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had never been born." The Lord's Supper, or rather the Passover, as a lasting ordinance, was meant to be a symbolic act of faith. The Jewish people were to remember what God had done for them in saving them from slavery in Egypt. They remembered by doing. This is a term called anamnesis. And we remember by doing as well. We remember by doing when we come to the Lord's table. We remember by doing every time we come together in prayer. We remember by doing every time we come to worship together as a family of faith. And we also remember by particular symbols that we have within the Christian faith. Older sanctuaries, like this one, are filled with symbols. Maybe you've come here for years and you haven't even noticed them, but I'm going to share a few of them with you this morning. Newer congregations, newer sanctuaries that are built, oftentimes look like just a box, and they're not filled with these symbols, partially because they can't afford to have them in the same way they've historically been presented. But one thing I'd like to point out to you this morning is the quatrefoils. Y'all know what a quatrefoil is? It's a four-point star or flower. And if you look at the windows on the north and south, you see on the top there's a four-point flower? That's a quatrefoil. If you look above all of the doors, the wood doors, do you see there's a quatrefoil? If you look to the back, just below the balcony, there's an entire row of quatrefoils. You can also find them within the rose windows. Quatrefoils are four-point items, and they represent the Father. No, they don't. I'm getting mixed up. They represent Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Quatrefoils are throughout the sanctuary. You will also find triangles in the sanctuary, flanking the quatrefoils on the door, within the windows on the side, surrounding the quatrefoils. They represent three points, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I almost forgot, and I just was looking at these this morning. I was strolling through in the beauty of a quiet morning. If you look at the beams above you, there are quatrefoils on the sides. Absolutely beautiful. If you look at the back windows as you're leaving this morning, you'll see five windows. I don't know if they're painted or if they're stained glass. It may be a combination of them, but they tell the story of the faith. On the far left, you see the resurrection of the Lord. The next one, he's walking on water. The middle one is vines. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Jesus as the shepherd, and Jesus saying, "Let the children come unto me." There's more symbols. See, they're everywhere. If you look at the two beautiful windows in the front and at the back, it's a rose window. Those are roses. In Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the fields. That has long been understood to be a foretaste, a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus. So there's rose windows, and within the rose windows, you see two four-point stars brought together, again, representing the Gospels. Surrounding them are the quatrefoils. It's just beautiful. Do you see the symbolism? Somebody say something. Yes, okay, very good. If you look up here on the chancel, lilies, right? Representing Christ, I am the lily of the field. If you look at the baptismal font in the front, there's a spirit descending, right? At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him. On the communion table, there's two Greek letters, chai and rho. Those are the first two letters of Christ in Greek. If you look at the pulpit, there's a repository here. It's a safe space. It's where the Word of God is entrusted to be taught and to preach, be preached with orthodoxy, faith, and love. Now, I just saw a lot of this walking around this morning. I'm sure there's more. I encourage you after worship to look for the... In fact, we can make this a History Channel show. I encourage you to look for the hidden symbols of the sanctuary. Yeah, they're everywhere. Look behind me. There's three openings. I imagine that wasn't done because it looked pretty. It was done because it's theologically correct. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.